Welcome back. I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. We're talking with Doug Shulman. He's the commissioner of the IRS, the 47th commissioner of the IRS. The IRS collects $2.4 trillion in tax revenue every year. It has 100,000 employees. Let's go back to the phones and take another call. We'll go to Grant calling us from Washington, D.C. Grant, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I'd really like to take issue with this idea that the IRS goes after powerful violators. In 2005, USA Today quoted Vice Premier Shimon Peres estimating $50 billion had been raised since 1977 in the U.S. and used to build illegal settlements in Israeli-occupied West Bank territories. And many U.S. charities like the One Israel Fund, American Friends of Judea and Samaria, Christian Friends of Israel, and even Jack Abramoff openly and illegally raised tax-deductible funds in the U.S. for illegal settlements. But while fellow Treasury officials like Stuart Levy and other political appointees supported by AIPAC aggressively go after Muslim charities suspected of any criminal ties, none of these charities have ever lost a tax exemption. And the IRS just doesn't go after any of these violators in spite of Obama administration policy against settlements.
All right, Grant, thank you for your call. What about Grant's question in terms of does the IRS go after charities who get tax-deductible contributions if their actions then violate U.S. policy?
You know, one of the interesting things about the agency, Susan, is that we actually reach into every nook and cranny of the country. So we have we focus on individuals, serving them, and having enforcement programs servicing business. We also have a tax exempt and government entities section of the IRS that focuses on charities and other nonprofits that get the benefit of tax exemption, making sure that they're complying with the tax rules. We've, over the last 10 years, beefed up that area, focused on everything from small nonprofits, international charities, hospitals, as well as education institutions. And we run a pretty robust program to make sure people are complying with the tax laws.
Grant said that Muslim charities have been subjected to special scrutiny. Is that the case?
Oh, I don't believe so. We try to, as I said to one of the earlier callers, we are very focused on running a nonpartisan, nonpolitical agency. There are only two people who are political appointments in the IRS, myself and our chief counsel. The rest of the 100,000 people you mentioned are career civil servants. All of us are tasked with focusing on administering the laws that are on the books in an even-handed manner, and I think our track record shows that's what we do.
We have a caller who says he is opposed to his tax dollars going to the war in Afghanistan, and can he designate that his tax dollars go for humanitarian use only? What are the options a taxpayer might have if they were opposed to something like the war in Afghanistan?
You know, the way the federal government's generally set up is that there are tax rates. They're debated over time by elected officials, ultimately set by legislation in Congress. And then there's a whole separate process which runs the allocation of funds. And so people have an obligation to pay their taxes. They can elect whatever politicians they want to elect who are responsible for setting the spending policies, but individuals can't allocate their taxes specifically.
Now, we've also had a caller, Basim from Cincinnati, say that I failed to get an answer to Grant's question about if a charity with that accepts tax deductible contributions is doing something that's illegal. Do you go after them? Now, the point that Grant was making was charities that may help fund West Bank settlements. What is the case with that? Is that illegal? And would you go after a charity that was helping to fund that activity?
I don't know the specifics of the case that they brought up. But if I wasn't clear, if a charity is breaking the tax law, is engaged in activities that they're not supposed to be engaged in, we certainly will go after them. Every year we pull 501c3 charity status from a number of charities. We've got thousands of audits going on regarding charities. And so we don't hesitate to administer the tax laws and make sure that, that people are following the rules.
You've talked about the Swiss government being now willing to cooperate in going after Americans who have these secret accounts where they put money they haven't paid taxes on. Why? That's, of course, been a problem for a long time. Why has the Swiss government now changed its attitude and been willing to cooperate with law enforcement here?
I think there's a couple of reasons is my speculation. I don't, you know, let me be clear. I'm not speaking for the Swiss government. I'm just giving you my my views. I think one of the issues is the world's become a much smaller place, meaning with technology, with the internet, with the ability to have thousands of records on disk, with the global capital markets and the fact that someone sitting in Switzerland or in Sydney, Australia, for that matter, can get on a laptop computer with Wi-Fi and do a trade. The world is a much smaller place. And I think in general, if institutions and citizens of different countries want to be part of that global capital markets, there's a certain norms around transparency that are going to be expected. I think the other fact of the matter in this case was the U.S. government, starting with President Obama, Secretary Geithner, the IRS, and others, was very clear that we were going to be focused on offshore tax evasion. And in the case of UBS, where we have the settlement, we had a pretty strong case, and we had different ways to get access to that information. And so I'm very pleased. We now have a very good working relationship with the Swiss government. I think all of this is on track, and my hope is that going forward, we're going to have a lot more transparency around the globe on offshore tax evasion, U.S. citizens who or U.S. taxpayers who use global capital markets, making sure that they pay their fair share of taxes.
All right. I want to thank Douglas Shulman for joining us this hour in the Diane Rehm Show. He's the commissioner of the IRS, has been handling your questions. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Susan.
I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. She'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR.